Our scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, reading from the 8th chapter, verses 18 through 28. May we be attentive to the reading, the hearing, and the work of God in our lives through His Word. Now when Jesus saw great crowds around Him, He gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to Him, "Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O men of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even winds and seas obey him?" This is the word of God, the people of God. Amen. You know, if my sermon were not so lengthy, so well exegeted from the original Greek, so positioned and poised as it should be, I can't say perfect because I don't have any humility anyway. There's a lot I would like to say as far as saying thank you to Morningside Presbyterian Church. Many of you know my journey to get here. Many of you don't, and I won't go into it. I tried to teach Sunday school here in 1965 when I was in seminary. That didn't work too well either. And I'd sort of forgotten about Morningside. And then for some very personal reasons, I was looking for a church and stumbled here. And as far as I'm concerned, you can carry me out because I'm not planning on going anywhere. It's just been a wonderful place. And I, of course, have always wanted to thank the choir on my terms for the most worshipful experience that Walter and all of you put together. You'll never know how much that means to a clergyman, to a pastor, to a minister when he's at a church. Thank you. And Walter, don't ever leave. And Robert, thank you so much. I was honored when you said agreed to help me here today. Need all the help I can get. Let us pray. Lord God, we come now to this time of worship when we look to Your Word, and we hope that my words and our thoughts and all that You have for us will be forever imprinted on our hearts. Thank You for Scripture. Thank You for the guidelines, the guidepost. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, Lord, I've just got to go to Kroger. I really got to go Krogering one more time. Lord, You don't like that? But Lord, what if this journey that I'm starting out on with You, what if it doesn't work out? I've got to have eggs and bread and milk and dog food and Coca-Cola's when I get back. You don't like that? Well, Lord, what about the gym? You told me somewhere in one of those books, one of those letters You wrote, that except for the angels, I was the greatest creation, mankind, that You have. I know I'm pretty good looking and everything, but, you know, the gym, run 3 miles and get these abs and these 6-packs and 12-packs and all that stuff built up. I mean, I don't want to embarrass You. But, Lord, You don't like that either? Well, Lord, what about the Braves? They're still playing. And Lord, I got all sorts of connections. I can still get one more seat in those box things where they serve good food and good refreshments. And you don't like that either. But Lord, you know, you're asking for me to take this journey with you, and I really want to, but you know, well, I know what ifs are not my problem. Lord, you're just acting like God. Just acting like God. And that's sort of where it all began and where it all begins. That's what we're all about. You know, the illusion of our faith starts at Christmas. No, this is not a reworked Christmas sermon. Starts at Christmas. This nice Jesus baby boy is born. And he's come, as the prophets of old said, with promises that life can be wonderful, that life can be doable and livable. All we have to do is remember. But Lord, after the Jesus baby was born, and then he walked the face of the earth, he was teaching, and the illusion of perfection and comfort and goodness and everyone being of equal value and mind, the illusion became so elusive. We start altering those promises and teachings that Christ gave us. We started altering them to meet our needs. And the illusion is destroyed at Easter. I mean, if you listen, you can hear it. The feet, the hammering, the hosannas, they crucify him. This group over here saying, this is wrong, this illusion this man brings is ridiculous. And over here, this people saying, but this is what it's about. And you know, I need to go to Kroger. I remember when I had knowledge in life. I was old enough to have knowledge, but not old enough to have wisdom. And there's a distinct difference between the two. Wisdom comes with life and with living. One of the top three decisions I have ever made in my life was the fact that I'm going to sign on for this church stuff. I'll sign on, pay my dues, and be there. And for those of you who know me, I don't miss church. I travel a lot, but there are churches everywhere. And because I signed on for it, I'm going to be there. And you will never know how many times I'll catch 4:30, 5 a.m. flights on Sunday so that I can have myself on that soft pew right here. Because that's what it's about. There's no illusion to that. You sign on, you do what you promised God you'll do. I found that knowledge helps me know life, but wisdom helps me live life. And living this life as a Christian, there's just something about Christianity that makes us feel very different or feels differently about life. We have the illusion we sign on, so to speak. We have the illusion that we're going to do something. You know, we throw our chest forward. Yes, I'm taking this pledge. I'm going to do something. I'm going to be able to fix something. I'm going to make a difference by being Christian. And we've all done that. We promise to pay the price. We have knowledge and we have wisdom. I'm sure you all have a story about how you made that decision. And so often, we're not able to do that, and we're guilt-ridden by the illusion that we're going to do better. And it becomes somewhat of that. It sounds great up front. But then there's this group over here that's saying it's wonderful, and this group over here that's saying it isn't. And this constant interaction, this constant battle. We make the assertion, and then we tend to condition this assertion. Then we just sort of give up. We just sort of give up. So as you hear the hammering over there, the marching of feet, the people coming to crucify him, and the people over here saying, no, this is the life, this is the way it should be, then the illusion gets to us. What do we follow? What do we not follow? And Christ, essentially, to so many, is killed by that illusion. A story from Russia tells of a railway employee how he accidentally locked himself in a refrigerator car. Unable to escape or attract attention, he resigned himself to his fate. As he felt his body becoming numb, he recorded the story of his approaching death in sentences such as these, scribbled on the wall of the car. I'm becoming colder, still colder. I'm slowly freezing. I'm half asleep. These may be my last words. When the car was opened, the man was dead. But the temperature in the car was 56 degrees. The freezing apparatus had been defective and had been out of order for quite some time. There was sufficient air in the car, and the man had not suffocated. There was no physical reason for the man's death. He was the victim of his own illusion. He was the victim of what his mind was doing to him based on conditioning. He wasn't dead. He was the victim of his own illusion. How carefully we need to guard our own minds against things that come in and things that from this side pull at us and this side pull at us. Knowing the power that our ideas have over us. And remember, it's ideas. It's things that we develop or accept that breed excuses. And it's excuses that allow us to justify whatever we want as far as the scripture says, yes, Lord, I will follow you anywhere. I'll follow you anywhere. How carefully we need to guard that part of our very being. Just very recently, I had a telephone call from a young man. He said, Mr. Small, he said, I'm carrying your card around for a year. Three people have been pushing on me to come to see you. He said, I think I'm losing it. Can I come? I'm in a lot of pain. He called, and he wanted to guard that part of his being so that he would not lose it. Yes, he was about to be killed by an illusion. The illusion that there was no hope for him, no hope for his mind, no hope for his life. In our text today, we see this very same thing. Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. But wait, Lord, I first need to bury my father. And Lord, then I'll go. But Lord, I'm scared. Can you calm the storm? Can you calm the storm in my mind? The part of me that says yes and the part of me that says no. And this is so typical. By not protecting and guarding what is sacred to us, for what we sign on for what we've been trained and taught all of our lives, we risk freezing to death spiritually. Freezing to death spiritually. When we don't have the mind of God about us, then we are in harm's way. Now think about that term, the mind of God, the mind's eye of God. That's simply saying, how do we see God and Christ? Through our mind's eye or through what he's tried to teach us? How does God see things? That's sometimes where the illusion falls down. Yes, God, I see what you're saying, Christ, I see what you're teaching, but there's something over here that tells me differently. Our text today deals with three things. First of all, it deals with hearing God. We initially hear God through the scriptures. The second part of that is we sleep on it. That's our reaction time. And the third part is the difference that the hearing and the reaction makes in our lives based on how we accept that illusion of what can be. What is our initial response to God? Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. No. Anywhere. I'm willing to sacrifice, suffer, give all, almost be the martyr for Christ. We really just respond unguardedly when we sign on for this business. We're deluded into an illusion of whimsical acceptance that we can be and do what we pledge to be and do. But then, as people who are created just a little below the angels, we get second thoughts. After we sleep on it, we begin to qualify. Well, Lord, I really will follow you, I've made all these rash promises, but then I really need to back down a little bit. And Lord, I just need to go to the gym one more time to make sure I'm okay. And Kroger's got a sale on Wednesday. I just really need to go. And back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. No matter how long we have been committed to the church, no longer how long we've gone through this acceptance of Jesus Christ, there's going to be that constant argument. Because there are forces out there that are compelling. Every Sunday when I'm in church, wherever I am, I'm grateful for the people that are there because something was driving them to have them there, to bring them through those doors. As I mentioned, I'm not going to miss church. Are you willing to follow God anywhere to really pay the dues? Back and forth, back and forth. We tend to worry so much about what God doesn't allow versus what he does allow. So the illusion is, God, maybe he really does allow, but maybe he really doesn't. And there's this constant battle for that. The story is told of watching a dog trotting across the street with a paper in his mouth. His owner, his master, a boy about 12 years old, walked behind him. A boy across the street spied the dog and gave a quick, sharp whistle. The dog looked up, pricked up his ears, and in a moment started to cross and reach the middle of the street. And when he did that, his owner saw what was doing and he whistled. The dog started back. The boy across the street gave another whistle, held up something in his hand and called, "Come here, come here." The dog started toward him. Then he heard his owner's whistle. Again, he started back. Everybody on the street looked and laughed. I wish you could have seen that dog race toward one and then toward the other. He did not know what to do. He had this weird delusion. He didn't know which way to go. He couldn't follow both. He had to choose between them. And that is how life is for those of us who drag ourselves here week after week, do our best to participate in things that our church offers and things that we feel compelled to do. That's life with God. It's easy to be killed by an illusion, to think that we can be in charge. And at last, a decided whistle and a loud command from his master brought him back. And he trotted along slowly behind his master. And there are many times when we get into about that same place of that small dog. Which way? What really is important? What really is significant? By getting self in that position, we really aren't willing to follow the master anywhere. And we put conditions on our following. And then we say, where can I rest my head? I'm conflicted. I had this illusion of what could happen, but it continues to get away from me. Where can I rest my head? Where can I have peace? Christ says, follow me. The response, yes, but let me bury my father. Christ's response, leave the dead to bury the dead. Many facets to that. We are to be concerned with the overall picture. Nothing can or should stand in the way of our response to God. We live in that dilemma of always trying to be self-sufficient. And in doing that, we tend to believe ourselves as opposed to what we have been taught. The point here is tragedy of the unseized moment. We will always find things that we should do. And it's so easy not to do them. It's so easy to let something else take place. H.G. Wells says, may God give to each of us that strength of decision which will save us from the tragedy of the unseized moment. We must seize the moment to reflect Christ. And if we decide not to do that, then we're being killed by the illusion that we accept it. We must seize the moment to reflect Christ for the sake of the moment, for the sake of self, and for the sake of Jesus Christ. That is the tragedy of life. We as individuals are moved to some fine action. we're moved to the abandoning of some weaknesses or some habits or some things that pull us down. We're moved to say something to someone, some word of caring and concern, but the moment passes and the thing is never to be, and the illusion is gone. The moment of fine impulse is never turned into action and into fact. Beloved, being Christian is more than just calling the name of Christ. Being Christian is doing without concern for self. It's caring without concern for self. It's sharing without concern for self. We have to guard the door of our being, of our psychological selves and our spiritual selves. We look for the chance to leave the dead, to bury the dead. Not wait, but we look for the chance to move past that. Are you ready to go anywhere with the Lord without conditions? A point to remember, to say yes to God and then to add a condition, essentially, is to dictate to God the conditions that we expect in our lives and are willing to accept if He will do what we want. To not follow Christ is fatal. To conditionally follow Christ is unthinkable. We have free will and we have volition. We are responsible people and we have an obvious responsibility to not be killed by an illusion. We are responsible for our destiny. We guard ourselves lest we open the wrong door. Life is stormy. We all have storms and battles. We all have conflicts. We all have temptations. We all have things pulling in us that say, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that church stuff. But one of the reasons that Morningside is so important to me is that we do want to do that stuff. And we're here. And we meet every challenge. And the rewards are manifold and are tenfold. Life is stormy at best. Christ can calm that storm if we will allow it. The close of the high school commencement service in a town near here, a young girl and her boyfriend who had just graduated went out to celebrate. At midnight, the girl's father was awakened by a phone call. He was urged to the scene of an accident. When he arrived, he found the dead body of his daughter lying in a ditch and the body of her boyfriend in the wreckage. And on the pavement rested a broken bottle of alcohol. The smell was everywhere. In his desperate need, in his desperation, the father cried, "If I could only get my hands on the criminal who sold them that bottle." He went home, and being totally unnerved, went to his liquor cabinet for a drink. His bottle was gone. And in its place, he found a note which read, "Dad, we wanted to celebrate, so we borrowed your bottle. I'm sure you won't mind." The father had provided the death bottle for his own daughter. Life is stormy at best. Life will always be stormy. But we have something that calms those storms. And that's, as Scripture says, rest our heads in the arms of Jesus Christ, where we have all that we need. The story, by the way, is true. Perhaps you've heard it before. Even for the Christian, life is stormy and our responsibility is so keen. If we are to survive the storms of life, then we, as the children of God, have nowhere to rest our heads except in the arms of the Lord. And if we can give ourselves over to Him unconditionally, if we can hear and give over unconditionally, our lives will be changed in such a way that when this side pulls at us and we have these back and forth arguments, it'll be a lot easier to say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow You anywhere, anywhere." Rest in the arms of the Lord. If we rest in self other than in God's arms, then we are killed by an illusion. We're killed by the illusion that we are in charge and that God in Christ isn't. If we say yes to Christ and then do less and follow unconditionally, then we are being killed by an illusion and are providing the death blow for that which it means so much to us. People, all we can do is come here and be reinforced. Hear what I've said and what we've all heard for years and years and years. That's all we can do. Except when we're reinforced with that. When the illusion is no longer there and we can go out those doors. And people know that we have been for a season here. The scenario, God, I'm ready to go. There's a situation out there, God. There's a situation out there that I'm ready to go to, and I'm going to fix it. Oh, but God, I need to go to the gym, and I maybe need to go to Kroger, and I don't want to miss that ball game. But you know, Lord, I can only do so much, but I'm willing to do that. You know, Kroger's important. And Lord, I'm in conflict, and you know it, but Lord, you understand, I mean well. We all know where the road is paved. You know, I mean, Back and forth, an illusion that we can argue and debate with God. Argue and debate with God as we drive spikes into his hands. If we say yes to Christ and do less than follow unconditionally, then we are killed by an illusion. Let us pray. Thank you again, Father, for the gift of your word, for the gift of that roadmap that we need to follow, and for helping us fight that constant battle that says, yes, Lord, but. In his name we pray. Amen.